Well, you ready for some playoff baseball or what?
Darn right. Like,
it's pretty good,
know,
eh?
Like, if you, yeah, if you told me in about March the 16th that this is where we would be, I would have been reasonably satisfied with that. I you know, could have passed on some of what's happened in between, but in the world, but this is a pretty good outcome, all things considered.
All right, so I want to be excited, and I am, but I also choose sometimes, as you know, Stephen, to be cranky, and I'm going to be cranky about this because until we get word on who is starting game one for the Blue Jays, and until we get firm word, I'm going to wonder if they're actually considering it being someone other than Hyunjin Ryu, and that makes no sense to me. It's got to be Ryu, doesn't it?
Well, it does, except that he's been effective with the extra day of rest. It does accept that game two in this circumstance doesn't mean anything different than game one, and wouldn't disqualify him from starting the next round of the playoffs if they won the best two out of three. So there's no real, you know, maybe there's some kind of emotional downside, I guess, if you go out and lose game one with somebody else. But I think it's a legitimate option if Ryu said, I want the extra day, which he has said to them a few times this year. And I would tend to trust him, you know, rather than, because, you know, look, they do have options here. This is not going to be, you know, and again, I think this, if in the absolute blue sky scenario, if the Blue Jays end up in a best of seven series at some point in this playoff, you know, then we're going to have a discussion about the rotation, you know, and the benefits of having a traditional rotation, a traditionally strong rotation where you can just lay out your four guys in a best of seven and off you go. They don't have that. You know, they have found ways to be good and be effective with an ace and then kind of backfilling behind him, although Taijuan Walker has looked really good at times since he came over. I'm not wedded to it. If Ryu isn't 100% right, and I look at all those lefties in the Tampa lineup, and I, you know, Shoemaker's got really good reverse splits, if that's the way you go, you know, with Ray behind him, maybe. But the other thing is, I'll tell you one thing Charlie Montoyo knows. He worked in that organization. They're always the smartest kids in the room, right? Like they're the kids at the back of the room who've got everything figured out, and they kind of work. They're going to analyze the crap out of this series and look for weaknesses that they can exploit and do creative things to beat a Jays team that played them really tough this year. You know, whatever you want to, like, that's why I just heard somebody predicting this is going to be a two-game wipeout. It could be, but you know, this is not a mismatch baseball wise. And I think the 4-6, the 4-6 and the way the Jays got to that 4-6 against Tampa, you know, like the Jays 5-5 against the Yankees this season, you know, it's a small sample size, but everything's a small sample size.
Well, Stephen, they could have had a winning record against Tampa. You go back to that first weekend.
That's right.
They left a win or two on the table.
Yeah, and Tampa got better as the year went on, and they overcame a ton of their own injuries. You know, you got to give them a ton of credit for what they've done. But, I think it's a little bit of gamesmanship, and that's okay as well. But because, look, again, Tampa have been the kings of gamesmanship. They've been the guys that, you know, played the surprise, did things that weren't expected, went against Buck conventional wisdom. So giving them a little bit of their own medicine here, I think, is fine. But I think the bigger factor is probably how Ryu feels and what he's telling them.
What do you think the Jays have to clean up to be successful in the playoffs, Stephen? Because there's been some holes, right, in this team throughout the season, and some question marks, whether it be, you know, on the bases or playing defense.
Yeah, well, those are the two, I think, Ziggy. Like, you can't give them extra outs. You know, you can't give a good team extra outs, period. And they have done that at times this year, sometimes really egregiously, right? But so you have to clean things up in the field. They, you know, I don't know what was going on with Randall Grichuk yesterday, but you know, he's been really good, and you know, then he kind of looked lost. You can't have that happen. You can't have guys running into outs on the base paths. I think you don't want to have if Jonathan Villar is going to play a significant role with this team, you better talk to him about a bunch of things in his game, because he's kind of a reckless player. At least the Blue Jay version of it has been. Yeah, they got to play clean baseball. I think that's that, but that's kind of, look, I'm not sure how many teams in the history of baseball you wouldn't say that about. You know, maybe like, again, maybe the, murderer's row Yankees or something could go out and commit three errors and then just still bludgeon a team. But, look, there's no bad teams left, right? So extra outs is the big one. You know, you give a team four or five outs in an inning, I don't care who's on the mound. It's, that's a huge gift to give a decent baseball club.
I don't think VR, and I know he's a switch hitter, I don't think he starts, though, because I think Gurriel's done very well in left field. I'm talking defensively now. I love Gurriel as a player. I think he's just offensively as well. Grichuk has been a pretty good center fielder. And there's question marks with Teoscar in right, but he's playing right field. I mean, you need that bat in the middle of the order. So that's your outfield, Steven, which moves Kevin Biggio into second base. I don't think VR, I think he's coming off the bench for you, right?
Yeah, he probably is. I think you're probably right. You know, again, because he's the switch hitter, he's going to play. I think there are going to be situations in this series where he's going to play. But yeah, I don't see a scenario where he starts, and that is your outfield with Jonathan Davis as the fourth outfielder. That's your outfield, and which kind of quietly again is just about the best offensive outfield in baseball over the 60 games. So and Teoscar, for all his Teoscar-ness in the outfield, he got better. He's got better as the season progressed. He looked more confident out there. Confidence is a big part of it. Just ask Derek Fisher. Confidence is a big part of it, and he's a work in progress. Same as Gurriel's a work in progress. He sometimes takes weird routes to the ball and does things that a guy who if he played in the outfield his whole life, maybe wouldn't look quite that way. But yeah, those three guys are there. Those names are in pen. You're right about that.
Alejandro Kirk, what do you think goes on with him and DHing or getting in any action?
Oh, I think his bat will be in the lineup at some point. Whether he catches or not, I don't know. I guess one of the things we'll find out is if they're going to carry a third catcher, which I don't think they have revealed yet, as far as I know. If I miss something, tell me. But I think it is risky in a situation like this to DH him if you're not going to carry a third catcher. But look, I think sometimes a young guy, he hits. He's hit everywhere he's ever been, and just you look at his stroke, and it's not fluky. Right, he's got a really, really nice stroke. I think the fact that he's young and inexperienced is not necessarily a problem right now. Sometimes guys are sort of unconscious. And remember, there's no home field advantage, right? There's not that the Trop's the most intimidating place in the world anyway. But who's going to be there to kind of spook him? Who's going to intimidate him? It's an empty stadium. I'm not even sure what kind of the emotional component of these playoffs is going to be like. It's like playing an A-ball game in front of nobody. So, yeah, I would use him. I would want that bat. I'm just not sure. I'd have to think about whether how much I wanted him to catch. And my guess is in a best of three, he's not going to catch.
With Steven Brunn on leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. This question doesn't pertain necessarily to the playoffs, Steven, but it's a longer term, bigger picture thing. We've talked before about Nate Pearson and just how he strikes me as a Trevor Bauer type when I watch his delivery. I can't help but get Chris Carpenter. I can't get him out of my mind when I look at TJ Zoik. Just not just the delivery, but when you actually look at TJ Zoik, if you did a quick glance, you'd think it was Chris Carpenter 17 years ago.
That's a good point, Scott. The other thing about him, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but 17 years ago, there were a lot more pitchers like TJ Zoik, right? Down in the zone, ground ball machines, throwing a heavy sinker, kind of working from the knees down. Everybody pitches in the upper part of the zone now. Like, that's become a thing, right? And there aren't many guys like TJ Zoik out there anymore. That's I think another reason he kind of stands out right now, because we're used to, you'd wish he'd miss a few more bats, but we don't see a lot of these ground ball machine guys anymore.
Well, no, and I know he went five scoreless against a Baltimore team that was playing out the string. So I'm not going to make too much of very, very little in terms of a sample size. But this, Zoik was this front office's first-round pick back in 2016. Do they feel like they have something here?
They do. I can tell you that. Yeah, they do. But they're... they feel like they like the fact that he's worked really hard. That's what I keep hearing, is that he's worked really hard. And you remember when he, you know, his first kind of taste of the major leagues didn't go, you know, he looked okay at times, but you kind of wondered, you know, this guy's a first round pick, because, you know, what a first round pick pitcher looks like now is Nate Pearson, right? 90, high 90s, low triple digit velo, a lot of swing and miss. And, you know, like, Zoik's got more velo than, you know, he's still a mid 90s guy. But I think he fits a different, you know, kind of a, you know, a different model than we're used to seeing right now. And I don't think they were fully convinced by what they saw last year, but I think that they're encouraged. They've been very encouraged by what they've seen. And again, at the mysterious alternate training camp, you know, it's like one of those UFO facilities, like no one gets inside.
Did anything really happen there?
Yeah, we don't know what happened there, right? And that's why they got rid of Ken Huckabee, because he knew, right? And had this, so they had to get him out.
Well, and it was the old joke, Stephen, about Julian Merriweather for 2 years. Is this guy actually real? He's throwing 100.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, okay, he is real, and he does throw 100. Yeah.
So I don't, but you know, whatever he was doing there, they liked. So, look, I think that's a really good conversation for next spring, which is, what's the rotation look like, presuming it's a 162-game season? You know, presuming you want to do things in a more conventional way, let's look at this mix here, which includes, you know, Roark, who's got another year for better or for worse, and a guy like Stripling, who they brought in, who is a starter, and, you know, what's Anthony Kay going to be, and Thomas Hatch, and, you know, a bunch of guys, Nate Pearson. That's going to be really interesting watching them put a rotation together next year, and I think Zoik's part of that conversation.
Last one for you, Stephen. Conor McGregor and Manny Pacquiao are going...
Very different conversation.
Yes. Neither will be pitching for the Blue Jays in any of the three games coming up against Tampa Bay, but they are going to have a boxing match next year. Mm. Look, Conor McGregor is a classic. I mean, a legit MMA, one of the greatest to do it, probably the greatest personality to ever perform in the UFC MMA. Like, he sells pay-per-views, pro wrestling style. And then you got Manny Pacquiao, who's one of the greatest boxers of his generation. If I've got $70, for me personally, I'm only talking about myself, I don't understand what compels me to spend a ton of cake to watch a boxer fight an MMA fighter in a boxing rules match, because I already know what's going to happen. Does McGregor have any kind of shot here? Is there any sales pitch you can make?
No, not for that. No, but I went through the whole Mayweather-McGregor thing from, you know, the beginning to the end, and I kept saying that, and I was one of the first guys who came on board and said, look, this, I know it sounds crazy, but this is going to happen. Because there's just too much money for both guys, and there's too much money to turn down. Like, why wouldn't you do it? You know, like, from Floyd's point of view and from Conor's point of view, why wouldn't you just take the money? Whatever, the legitimacy or not, like, what, that's not the point. It's a circus, right? You don't worry about the legitimacy of a circus. But, like I said a million times, Conor McGregor has no chance, zero chance. I would bet if I was a gambler, I would mortgage my house and bet it on Floyd. And it's the same thing here. You know, Pacquiao, actually, you know, he's 41, and he started fighting as a pro when he was 16. So he has been around a long time. But 41 these days for an athlete is not over the hill. And he fought twice last year in 2019 and looked really good, especially against Keith Thurman last summer. It was a legitimate undefeated boxer, you know. So, yeah, it's a crazy cash grab. I believe it will happen. Everybody in that sport, in both those sports, needs money right now because – of what's happened with COVID. They haven't been able to cash in. It's easy to promote people like Pacquiao. He won't play, you know, he won't be quite the, you know, like Conor will play the villain here because, you know, like the other one, both guys played the villain. Both guys were heels. And they'll make a ton of money and Pacquiao will win. And he, you know, unlike Floyd, he probably won't carry him for 10 rounds. So yeah, it'll be, there is no match here. It is a mismatch, but, you know, again, I would happily invest in it if they'd like me to, because a lot of folks are going to make money here.
Yeah. Who the bleep is that guy? We're looking forward to 4:25 this afternoon. Mark Shapiro, president and CEO of the Jays, will be your guest on Writer's Block. You, Jeff Blair and Richard Deitch. Thanks for this, Stephen, and goodness knows what we'll be talking about next Monday. Hopefully the Jays are in a five-game division series in San Diego against either the Yankees or Cleveland. That wouldn't be bad.
Yeah, sadly they won't let us take the show there, I believe, but even in the current circumstances, I might volunteer for that.
Well, and even I would volunteer too. Ziggy and I would get up at 3 a.m. Pacific time to start the show just to be in San Diego. No question. Yeah.